From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. There is mixed news reflecting continued unsteadiness in the U.S. economy, with employment numbers weaker than hoped. Unemployment held steady at 5% in April, while the U.S. economy had a net gain of 160,000 jobs, far less than the 200,000 predicted by many economists. Business services, healthcare, construction, and financial activities gained jobs, while employment declined in retail and mining. President Barack Obama called on the Republican-led Congress to pass legislation for a higher minimum wage and more spending on infrastructure.
Congress should raise the minimum wage. This is something that would not only help those individuals who are getting a bigger paycheck, but it also means they're spending more, and that would be a boost to business.
The bright spot in this, economist Stuart Hoffman of PNC Bank says the lower-than-expected job gains means the U.S. central bank is not likely to raise interest rates soon. President Obama is also proposing new regulations requiring U.S. companies to disclose more information about their owners. The regulations are in response to the Panama Papers, millions of documents detailing international tax evasion through secret offshore accounts. Speaking today, the president called on Congress to do its part in stopping tax evasion.
I've been talking about this for a while. Only Congress can fully close the loopholes that wealthy individuals and powerful corporations all too often take advantage of, often at the expense of middle-class families. If they're getting out of paying their fair share of taxes, that means that the rest of us have to shoulder that burden.
The proposals would require companies to disclose their owners to the Internal Revenue Service and allow law enforcement agencies access to that information. This is VOA News. Fighting between al-Qaeda-linked militants and the Syrian government killed 73 people in a village near Aleppo early today. The battles, reported by the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, allowed militants to retake the village of Khan Tumen, 15 kilometers southwest of Aleppo, and others near the strategic Damascus-Aleppo highway. The attack was carried out by insurgents and the group has recently refused efforts to de-escalate the crisis in Aleppo. Meantime, the United Nations is warning those responsible for such attacks, specifically the bombing of a refugee camp near Idlib on Thursday, will be brought to justice.
Those responsible for yesterday's seemingly calculated attack against civilians in the camp in Idlib, which could constitute a war crime, must be held accountable.
That was United Nations spokesman Stefan Dujarric. Activists say two missiles struck the camp, killing at least 28 people. Baghdad was on lockdown for at least a portion of today, fearing a repeat of last week's turmoil when protesters stormed into the fortified international zone, broke into parliament, and forced lawmakers to flee for their lives. The government set up concrete barriers around the city, and foreign embassies inside the international zone had visibly increased security. Routes were severed from the planned demonstration site of Tahrir Square in the east all the way to the international zone in the west. Razor wire, concrete barriers, and police blocked some Baghdad streets. By late afternoon, however, the feared demonstrations had not materialized. North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un has opened the first ruling party Congress in decades, hailing the country's recent nuclear test and launch of a satellite into space. Kim told thousands of delegates at the 7th Workers' Party Congress Friday that his nuclear weapons and missile programs have brought dignity and national power to North Korea. Dressed in a Western-style suit and tie, Kim was flanked by his top military aide as he addressed the first ruling party Congress in 36 years. He praised the country's scientists for creating milestone miracles, including the sound of the first H-bomb of our republic. Meantime, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was in Russia today, hoping to ease strained relations between Moscow and Tokyo before President Vladimir Putin returns to China for a bilateral summit next month. At the top of the agenda was a long-running dispute over the group of islands Russia calls the Kurils and Japan calls the Northern Territories. During World War II, Soviet troops seized four islands. Japan has demanded their return, but Russia has only offered back two of them. Russia announced plans in March to station coastal missile systems on the disputed islands, sparking a rebuke from Japan. And the fiery nightmare continues in Canada to our north, where a convoy of evacuees from Fort McMurray had to drive straight through that area and the flames to get out. I'm Marty Johnson in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.